Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your fire. Lord, we thank you for your anointing, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're always for us, Father. You're never against us. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. That in your presence is healing. That in your presence is refreshing. Lord, we are here for you. Lord, not only what you can do for us, Father, but Lord, we're here this morning because of who you are. Because you are faithful. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the rescuer, the redeemer, the savior of the earth, of us, of our hearts. You're the restorer of all things. You're the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. You are above all. Holy One, there is nobody else like you. No one loves like you love. Oh, Jesus, you are the firstborn among many brethren. Holy One, we exalt you this morning. We worship you this morning because you are worthy. Holy One, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just receive from his presence this morning. Not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. Receive from him this morning. Yes, Lord.
Andy's talking about receiving, and while we were worshiping, I was seeing a picture of one of those luggage carousels at the airport where you pick up your bags after you get off the flight, and that there's just bags, you know, coming around on that carousel that the Lord knows what we need, and He's wanting to give to us, you know, and the bags are all different sizes and shapes and colors. They're individual for us, but when they're going around there, you have to step up and take them. You have to grab them, or else they keep just continuing to cycle, and just feel like the Lord's saying that he gives good gifts. You know, it says every good and perfect gift comes from him. He's our Father, and he loves you. He knows what you need. He has it here for you, and it's just that encounter with him, that stepping up and saying, you know, yes, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to take it. I'm going to encounter you. I'm going to receive it, you know. So take that moment, that individual moment of receiving from him.
Speaking of receiving, I received a text this morning from Pastor Bill in Monado, and it's their evening, so there are 12 hours in Monado between us, and it's nighttime for them right now. And this morning, their morning, Lawrence and Michelle went to do a youth meeting, youth outreach, youth something at some church, I'm not sure exactly what, but apparently it was amazing, that's my understanding. And I don't know if we have pictures for that or not. I know they're busily putting some pictures up. And then Pastor Bill was at another church And we love to see that. We love to see the Lord dividing and splitting like that. And we've been doing that for a number of years, and it's just so much fun just to see the Lord cover a lot of ground. So God has given us a presence in these countries, and we're just asking God for the solidification of how it's going to look for future years with missions and other things. But I think we can show some of those now. I think Andy was going to, he's a little bit more familiar with the pics. So you've seen them, right? So I can add something to say it too, since I've been to Monado.
Well, this is pastors and leaders that are hungry for more after the service at the MCC. The leadership gathers for prayer and impartation from Pastor Bill. Hungry for more of the service? That's the same caption. You guys can kind of make him out there, can't you? He's somewhere in there. All right, next one. Just more pictures, same caption. The Lord's presence is being released. Pastor Bill leads a time of worship during a men's house meeting. Pastor Bill imparts of the Father to the group.
This is a place we've been to numerous times. We've done meetings there, and it's a little bit of a different format right now. He's demonstrating. I can't really read that writing. He's demonstrating what? The Bank of Heaven. Okay. But this is actually in Jakarta. This is not in Manado, which is where they are right now. So we're backing up just a little bit. And that's Tanya, who's one of our connectors in Indonesia, a spiritual daughter to us. And she went to Mozambique with us last year, and she's going again in a few weeks. So we're excited about that. And Lawrence is over there in one of those pics. And Pastor Bill's... he's saying something about it being a ballerina. That's a vision that he had once with both he and I in it. And he was actually a ballerina, and I was doing gyrations, and he was holding me up, and we were flowing in tandem. So it was pretty wild. So I guess he was telling them, don't know how they took that, but he was telling them what his vision was. Okay. He's very animated. And he is, they're doing a crusade now. Are we in Manado? I guess that's Manado now. Which is on the island of Sulawesi, which it took them from 3 in the afternoon to 11 with a plane change to get there a couple days ago. So they went out on the ocean in the villages out there. It's where Tanya initially is from. She was born there and ended up in Jakarta. So they're back there right now. So there's Lawrence doing something. Playing with the children. And I understand that Lawrence was, Pastor Bill was leading them in salvation, and so was Lawrence, and Michelle was joining them in healing, and they had two nights of crusade. I'm not sure too much more than that. So these are some of the kids who came up. Michelle and Tanya. Okay. We'll have to get some bigger text next time or something. I can't read this. Precious Children of Manado. Oh, that's so good. And that's Tanya. And Michelle. Michelle's leading them in healing. The crusade. Pastor Bill. And Tanya's leading them, sharing about something with her Pastor Bill. And there's Shell. Go, girl. Love it. Lots of healings. I don't know what they are, but we heard there were lots of healings. Oh, okay. I prayed for his shoulder, okay. And they came back for more. Okay, woman came back, so it was exciting. Sometimes when they tell you they have pains, it could be a serious disease, we don't know what it is. And they don't either in the village. So praise God for that. What's that? He'll have to confirm which healing it is, Lawrence said. Okay, that happens in crusade. And this says, holy moly, he's testifying of something. Okay, testified of healing received. We'll get more clarification next week. Lawrence and Tanya make a call for people to receive more freedom in Christ. This came to set the captives free, so he was leading them in deliverance. And Pastor Bill and Tanya are praying. So this was just last night. Okay. Pastor Bill releases the Father's love to a woman after receiving prayer. Pastor Bill celebrates and dances with the children to close the first night of the crusade. Okay, the team performs Torn Between Two Worlds. So Lawrence is up there. That's awesome. And Tanya's praying for healing. Awesome. So good. Michelle and Tanya get testimonies of healing. There's Lawrence, prays for the children of Monado to be filled with the power of God. I like that. It's awesome. These precious children of Monado at the crusade. Oh, look at that. It's so cool. Little world changers in the making. Papa Bill watches over his spiritual daughter with delight as he shares. Oh, she shares her heart. Yeah, that's a delightful smile. The children are fascinated as the weird guys, hairy faces, and venture close to get a better look. I don't know who wrote all these. I think this is Lawrence. The power of God. Follow Pastor Bill and the team into the homes of the local families as they line up to receive more of God. PB winding down from a long night of ministry by worshiping God in the hotel lobby. Well, he called it a bar, so I don't know. He told me on the phone. Is there, unless there's another one, is that it? He said there was a bar, and maybe that didn't get up there. I don't know. That was it, lounge bar, and that it cleared the place out. So that's a good thing, actually. So praise God, and they'll be heading to Singapore in a couple of days, so we'll be having some updates there. So things are really moving. It's an exciting time.
Friday night we had our healing rooms here that we have every second and fourth Sunday. Not Sunday, Friday night. And it was really sweet. There were two sisters who came to receive prayer, separately, of course, because we just wanted to soak them in prayer. But it was just a real awesome time of the Lord's presence, and it was just so cool feeling and sensing and experience the Lord's heart for individuals. And they got kind of like the whole package, you know, prayer, encouragement, prophecy. You know, they left encouraged. And one woman, she was struggling with a heart condition, and she was just expressing, she's like, you know, I'm so thankful that there's times when you kind of get weary in the battle, and then you just kind of get a fresh reinvigoration from prayer and impartation. And so it was just an incredible honor on Friday night. So, and the cool thing was is that she took cards, and she's like, I can't believe this is here, because she found us by searching, like, the John G. Lake healing rooms, and got taken to this website, and then, oh, look, there's one right here. And she's like, it's so close, and my sister lives in North Canton, and so word is spreading, and they took cards, and like, I'm going to tell more people, so, which is really neat. You know, the Lord's drawing people, and I believe that it's going to be more and more and more. So if you guys are praying on those Friday nights, I encourage you to make it out, or tell people that you know that need prayer, because it was just refreshing to me, again, for the place of standing and contending and faith to see people healed, but also that place of just soaking them in prayer, just to have them rest and receive. It was incredible. And so on another Friday night, not this Friday night because the month's not over yet, but next Friday night, it's June. It'll be First Friday. We'll be downtown Canton. We'll have our booth. It's going to be amazing. So mark it on your calendar. It's going to be awesome. Something about Fridays. I don't know what the Lord's doing with Fridays.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and release the children to Kingdom Land. And I want to show you a video clip so the kids can go. And adults, I want to show you something that I think will bless you. I hope will bless you. Yeah. Oh, exciting times. My goodness. This is a season, my gosh, out in Indonesia, and first India, then Indonesia, then Singapore. And then Mozambique's coming up in July, so that's pretty exciting. Yes, Lord. We'll wait till everybody gets back. We're not going to show it right away. But I do want to draw your attention, first of all, if you would, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Three through 11. I didn't put it up there, so you'll have to use your phone or use your Bible or something. We've been talking in the last recent weeks about the body of sin being crucified. When we come to know Jesus, it was crucified at the crucifixion. and we are raised to new life. So I want to talk. I just want to read through that because the part of the that verse, that passage of scripture, will actually be shown in the video, and I don't want it to be just glossed over in any way because he doesn't read it. I'm going to show a little bit of a Graham Cook clip. Say that one fast. Graham Cook clip. There we go. So I was highly encouraged by it. At Mission Training Weekend a few weekends ago, Troy and Peter picked this video. We're not showing the whole thing, but we're showing a little part of it. And I wasn't here that morning until a little bit later, so I didn't see it until just recently. And we asked Carly to send it out to all of you. If you didn't get that, we don't have your right email, so we need to have that. And we just really encourage you to watch the whole thing. It's very, very strengthening. But I think it ties in with what we want to talk about today. And I think it's very positive. So if you look at Romans 6, verses 3 through 10, I'm just going to read through that. Okay. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self, our old nature, was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin, which is a great promise. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Thank you, sweetie. But the life that he lives to God. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to read the last verse after that. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you would obey its lusts. So we have a way of presenting here. And again, we've been going through this passage and exhorting you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8 in the last 3 weeks or so. And hopefully you're doing that on your own time. And there's just another way of looking at this that I think will help us continue to strengthen and be moved into a place of just saying, yes, Lord, this is who I am. My identity is becoming ever so present and clear to me more and more and more, so that even as I want to step out in the supernatural realm, because I am supernatural, even so, there's going to be an increase for me, because who lives on the inside is going to be able to be released in greater measure. Don't we want that? Yes, we want the resurrection life of Jesus to come out of us, right? At our jobs, in our businesses, with our family and friends and relationships and things like that. So there's criteria involved in that teaching and that understanding and those principles of Scripture that help us formulate what it is we're going to set our mind on. What are we going to think about? How are we going to renew our minds so that these kinds of things happen in our life? Everybody wants that. There isn't anybody in here who doesn't want that type of life, so that we are living fully to the place that we've been called to live, and therefore being able to be releasers of God's kingdom and God's glory wherever we are and to whomever we're around. Whether it's here, whether it's abroad, it doesn't matter. God says, I want to bring these times that feel as though they're oh or ah or frustrated times or down or dark times, I want to lower and minimize the gap and eventually bring those to an end, so that we actually are able to say, okay, I feel like something's coming, but nevertheless, here's where I stand and here's where I'm not going to move from. That place. And there's a place of victory, and Jesus paid a big price for that, and he allows us to go through what that crucifixion really is like in our own lives, so that we can walk that out. Sometimes he's saying, you think you know it all, but you don't. I believe he's always saying that to us. We always think we have it figured out. And he says, okay, let me show you something else. And this is going to be a great, great time in our lives to be able to step into more of that. It's so funny. I was looking through some of my old folders and notebooks and things from all the years, and I ran across one where we were teaching here Sozo Training, which was type of training to help people step into becoming freer on the inside. And we had done that actually back, one of my first notes said, in 2007, and I think several years after that as well. But 2007, this is what I wrote. It's not from the Sozo classes, but right around that era of time. That's a long time ago. But I thought, wow, I just read that, and God wants me to see it not only for me, but also for each one of us. And some of that's going to be discussed in this video. I thought, oh my gosh, you're so good, God. So I just keeping that in mind, what I'm going to read now with what I just read in Romans 6, so that we can process and then apply, in other words, receive impartation from the Spirit of God, so that what we hear, what we see, what we listen to, what we read, becomes revelation to us. If it becomes revelation to us, we can change. If it's not revelation, it won't change. It will just be, that's nice. We've said that over and over and over again, but God is saying today, I want to deepen that revelation. There are things that I want you to see. I know you see what's going on in Monado. I know you see what's going on in various other places as we've been testifying over the weeks and months and years. But I want you to see what I'm telling you, for your life right now, and that is preparing you for the next upgrade that's right here in your midst. And the upgrade always comes, the promotion, the upgrade in the Spirit comes through revelation. So Spirit of revelation, whew, is going to hop or be imparted to us, not hop on us. But I was calling a friend this morning. Being led by the Spirit means when you feel that the Spirit, or sense the Spirit, not just feel, the Spirit is talking to you because you're in constant communication, then you act on that, what he's telling you to do. So this morning, as I was preparing my heart, I was calling a very close pastor friend of mine, and in this area, and just said, I just want to encourage you. It was like, phew, and just spilled out all of this revelation, I believe, that the Lord gave. And that was from preparation for my heart to be able to impart today, but also God said, listen, before you get to church, here's what I want you to do. It's like, oh, this is great. So one thing that I did say was, and I wrote it down after I said it, I said, when you think, move, and act, think, move, and act, just remember that, think, move, and act. When you think, move, and act supernaturally, you get supernatural results. When you think, move, and act supernaturally, you get supernatural results. So what's supernatural? Above the natural, above the obvious, above what makes sense, above, even above our feelings and emotions. Amen? When you think, move, act naturally, you get natural results. So I'll read those two again, so if you want to write them down, you can. When you think, move, and act supernaturally, you get supernatural results. This is where you receive the more. More comes as a result of thinking, moving, and acting, and receiving. All of that involves receiving supernaturally. When you think, move, and act naturally, you get natural results that don't necessarily include the more. So we're going to hear a little bit about what the Lord has done for us, a lot about who Jesus is, and a little bit about Romans 6 in just a minute. but we want to go to the next point or place that we don't see lack and that we don't receive lack. That's where we want to go. If we're constantly saying, Lord, I don't want lack in my life, he says, me neither. But he wants us to be able to flow in that supernatural zone, that supernatural realm, that place, so that lack isn't part of our lingo anymore. And it's not just a promise, but there's a provision then for what God is doing. We're holding on to it. We're believing that God is saying this, but then the provision is there for that promise to actually look like something. But it has something to do with how we respond supernaturally, how we receive supernatural, where we position ourselves. Yes, God is sovereign, but he created us in his image, so he wants to do something with us. So in the fact, or because of the fact that he is sovereign, he says, look, I've created you the way that I want you, and that's in my image, and I want you to know who you are so that you can reflect me. And that involves living, breathing, walking, and receiving in the supernatural. And that's going to do something, and things will change. So if you have a rough marriage, it will change. It won't change because you're taking your time and working it out. It will change because you're so seeing what God says about this that you will partner with what God says, and then you will expect what supernatural is, and then that will begin to happen. So sometimes we wait for years thinking, well, you know, I'm just waiting and I'm believing. God says, well, maybe you're stuck. Maybe there's something that you're not seeing about the supernatural. Yes, I'm all about waiting when God says wait. But when he says move and act, we need to move and act. And if we don't want to because it's not comfortable, then that's where God says, I need to talk to you. You're probably moving and acting and thinking and feeling in the natural. And it's time for natural thinking and moving and believing and acting and such to change into supernatural. And when we make that change as a result of what we decide to do with who we are, and God partners with that, and he is drawn, people are drawn, things change. So it's a realm that God wants us to understand and live in. Anyway, let me tell you what I wrote down, then we'll watch this little video here. It's about 15 minutes, so it's not a two-minute clip. So I want you to really get this. You might want to take some notes if you want. It's up to you. But here I said, this is 2007, all it takes is one negative person in a household or a workplace or any place to release an atmosphere of oppression. Now that wouldn't be any of us, right? All it takes is one negative person in a household or workplace or any other place to release an atmosphere of oppression. This is from Patricia King teaching at that time, and then some other notes. Negative atmospheres are exhausting. Now that's actually the title for a book that some of you may have already read. It's called Dream Big, that she had written years ago. But negative atmospheres are exhausting. And when we, if we are living in one or even involved in connecting with one, it just tires us out. It's just like, ugh. And God says negativity isn't in heaven. So if we define what negativity really is from God's perspective and we run from that, we are better posturing ourselves to receive, to work, to walk in, receive, and live in the supernatural realm, the kingdom realm. A negative attitude drains one of joy, peace, strength, and it affects others negatively. So anything negative, if we justify negativity, we're still negative. Oh my. If we're speaking of negative thoughts, if we speak out negative thoughts or demonstrate negative attitudes, the person who does that usually doesn't realize they have a problem. And usually they either have to finally figure that out from the Holy Spirit telling them, or somebody else might say, you know, that's really negative. Now, if you get two people agreeing together in negativity, then that breeds again. But all it takes is one, because one can influence another and another and another and another, and it's contagious and it's infectious. In Patricia King's ministry, they don't tolerate negativity and gossip. If it surfaces, we lovingly address it. If we fail to do so, it could become like a virus and spread through the camp. So negativity breeds negativity. A person can be blinded by it. So let's always be open to potentially hearing or believing, receiving that there's negativity in our life so that we can have the upgrade that we're looking for. Positive perspectives come as we create the habit of only thinking positively. Now, this is not some New Age teaching here. This is positive thinking. This is thinking that's based on what the kingdom of God says, what Jesus Christ says, period. Nothing else, because there is no negativity there. And so if we have assumptions, we have presuppositions, we have opinions, then if they even have a touch of negativity or a perversion in any way, it will breed more negativity and then cause problems. Positive perspectives come as we create the habit of only thinking positively. Negativity is a destructive habit. Now, there's going to be a mention, I believe, in this passage, this 16-minute video, that is going to be speaking about habits just a little bit. So we can have a habit, and we really want to be thinking about this. Fear and negativity bring that which is feared and believed to pass. So if you fear, oh my gosh, my name it is going down, or whatever it is, there's lack or there's fear, or oh my gosh, what if it doesn't work and I'm on a deadline, or I've got a budget, or I've got ants from Tallahassee coming and it's going to be bad, you know, whatever it might be, any kind of apprehension like that, not that if anybody has aunts in Tallahassee, I don't, just saying, God is wanting us to get this. He's saying this is really, really a big deal. If we have fear, if we have, I'm just got to get through, oh my gosh, I have to make it to this and so, that, do you know that the power behind that could actually bring that very thing upon you and bring it to come to pass? And that's how failure can take us over and over and over and over. Take us over and over and over and over. Failure in relationships, failure in business, failure in finances, failure, a.k.a. lack, a.k.a. lack. Right? And so I thought that was a really good word that I haven't seen in this binder, this notebook since 2007. I probably read it somewhere along the line since that, but I haven't looked at this one in a while. Negativity attracts the very essence of what it believes. Good thing to write down. Negativity attracts the very essence of what it believes. Negativity attracts the very essence of what it believes. So if you start believing something because you've been thinking about it for a long, long time, Pastor Bill sings about that. I've been thinking about it a long, long time. I only want to be close to you. So that's a good thing to think about. But those kinds of things will mount. And if we think on something that has even a touch of negativity to it, it has to multiply. It's the nature of negativity. It will multiply. It will not stay the way it is. One day later, 1 month later, 1 year later, 10 years later, it will increase. It won't stop because there's a force behind it. Okay? Very, 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 very important. Negative attitudes draw negativity and mishap, while positive attitudes draw positive results. Attitude and expectation will often determine the outcome of your day. Isn't that interesting? So I'm reading that in the midst of all the other notes, and I just stumbled on it. I said, I haven't seen that notebook in a while, and opened it like that, and there it was. I said, I think you're wanting to say something here. And I believe God's positioning us. He's saying, I'm redirecting, I'm shifting, I'm moving things in your life and the life around you, and I'm doing it in a good way. So any kind of fear or mistrust or unbelief, anything that will lead you to doing something or thinking something or even feeling something that has negativity attached to it is not the Lord. He always has a way out. He always has something. He's the God of the impossible, and he says there's always a solution. So if there is what we call a problem, then there's provision for that problem, always. But if we label it something that it's not, then fear will have its way. Fear and negativity will have its way because it's cancerous, it's a poison, and it will affect us and affect others. It's the nature of the beast. So we don't want to see that. So if we've been crucified with Christ, this is something to think about. So I want you to draw your attention now to Graham Cook. I mean, how many of us know Graham Cook? He's awesome, a great prophet in our time. And I love the way he operates and what he offers. He's amazing. And what I would suggest, if you have not had the time, taken the time, or have it even in your email, that you would watch the rest of this clip. It's very good. We're stopping after a certain amount of time to wrap things up and see what God wants to do. But I think you will be encouraged to take a step further in the supernatural as a result of this today. So be blessed. Let's watch this. Can we flip the lights, please? If you want to take notes, it's a good idea.
I really love the way that God sees things. I love the way that he thinks about things. Here's the issue, for many of us, is that we've grown up in the world around us, and the world around us is normally pretty negative. There's an inherent negativity in our culture, in our society, in the world around us. The world is a problem-solving universe. Heaven isn't. That's because there are no problems in heaven. So they're not used to dealing with problems. They see everything as a possibility. And when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he came saying, "You have heard it said, but now I say." He came bringing us heaven's perspective so that we actually get a new way of seeing. We get a new lens for life. He came to give us heaven's mindset and to teach us a language that only heaven knows. So we've all grown up speaking the language of earth. Jesus came to teach us the language of heaven so that the church really should be a teaching heaven as a foreign language center. Because it is a foreign language. The language of heaven is foreign to the earth. And scripture even says that the natural mind can't receive it, can't understand it, and thinks it's foolish. But there is a way of thinking, a way of seeing, a way of speaking that absolutely can dominate our life and our circumstances using the mind of Christ. He came saying, what is impossible for man is very possible with God. And he said, all things are possible, only believe. And when he says that, what he means is, you get the easy part, you just get the belief. But when you see something, when you can think about something, and you can see it, you can step into it, you can believe for it, and there is a language that comes into your life that allows you to connect with God in trust and in faith. But in order for us to do that, we have to set aside the thinking that the world gave us, which means there is no place in our spirituality for logic, reason, or rationale, or intellectualism. Because even a quick flick through the Bible tells you that God is not logical. He's not rational, because he asks you to believe in something that you can't see. Is that rational? Seriously? No. If everything could be accessed from God logically, we should not need faith. The Bible tells us to walk by faith, and faith is where we believe for something that we can't see, but we know that it's going to happen. How does all that transpire? It comes out of our inner man of the Spirit, interacting with who God is for us, and we're learning how to see things spiritually, spiritual appraisal. We're learning how to have our thoughts in line with the relationship that Jesus has with the Father, and we're learning to speak to things and to call things up as though they are not. We're learning the language of faith. So, you are designed to see something that is unseeable. You're designed to think about things in a way that the rest of the world around you would not think about them. And you're designed to talk to things and cause things to happen because there is a creative, the same creative word that's in God's mouth is actually in yours also. So we're learning how to be citizens of heaven living here on earth. So God's not logical, not reasonable, and much too clever to be an intellectual. He's wise, but he's a spirit. And he sees things in a completely, compellingly different way than we do. So in Christ, there are no problems, only possibilities. So if you read the Gospels, and you know, you should read the Gospels every single year, maybe even every 3 months. It's really important for us that the words of Jesus become more important than the words of Paul. Amen. And that we see Paul's ministry through the light of the Gospels. And we don't see Jesus through the light of the epistles. That's really important. Why? Because we're following presence. And I don't want to be a disciple of Paul. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to understand presence. I want to understand what is it that he brought into every situation that made it become radically different. that 5,000 people could be fed with a few fish sandwiches, with enough left over to feed a small village. I want to know what happened between him and Zacchaeus that brought that little obnoxious little rat out of a tree. And by the time he got to the feet of to where Jesus was, a decision was made that I'm going to give half my goods to the poor, and anyone that I've defrauded, which was a lot of people, I'm going to pay them back four times as much. How could Jesus invite one guy to supper and cause a whole community to become rich in the same moment? What on earth was happening? Everywhere Jesus went, hey, get a concordance, look up the word marvel. Seriously. Look up the word marvel or marvelous. Most of the scriptures will be in the Gospels, and they'll all be about Jesus. How everything he did caused people to marvel. People marveled at him, and he said, I will do this so that you can marvel. He's not backward in coming forward in this thing. No, he's like, hey, I'm marvelous. I'm going to teach you how to walk with me, and you'll marvel that everybody else will think you're marvelous too. Welcome to the gospel. Everything about God is marvelous. What we need is a lifestyle that's absolutely dependent upon majesty. That we understand that we are people of the King, we're kingdom people, we have access to a lifestyle that is marvelous, that is full of majesty, that displays the sovereignty and the supremacy of Jesus. That's what we have to offer. And what that means is, you can't be ordinary. Just saying. You can't be ordinary, because you have Christ living in you, and that makes you a magnet for everything that is brilliant and extraordinary. Because if Christ is in you, then the glory of God is never far from your life and your circumstances. So if Christ is in you, all of heaven is attracted to Jesus in you. So we're having to come to terms all the time that, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not on your own. There are two people inside here. One of them is you. The other one is the one who never leaves you nor forsakes you. That what's different between the old covenant and the new covenant is the old covenant was a visitational culture. The new covenant is a habitational one. The Bible says that you are a new creation. What does that mean? You're a race of people never seen in the earth before Jesus. Everyone before Christ had the power of God come on them. It could lift off them. But now in Christ, God comes and he makes his abode in you. And so he never leaves you nor forsakes you. So he's always with you. And he's with you to teach you how to be a citizen of heaven here on earth. He's teaching you how to think like he thinks. How to see like he sees, how to talk like he talks. It's teaching you how to grow up into Christ in all things. And a big part of that, initiation into that, is that because you have Christ living inside you, never again will anything be impossible for you. That's what he's saying here. With man, all manner of things are impossible. But with God, all things now become possible. What that means is, you're never the victim of an impossibility ever again. Because now, in Christ, we get to turn problems into possibilities. Here's the thing about the Lord. He refuses ever to work with a negative. Because there are no negatives in heaven. What he does is he converts that negative thing into something else so that he deals with that. Take your old self, for example. Before Christ, you were a sinner, lost, away from God. And then suddenly Christ comes into your life and you start to learn about the power of the cross. And you realize when you read Romans 6, verses 3 to 11, it talks about that when Christ died, you died. And you understand that when he died, he didn't just die for you, he died as you. And so that in Christ, your old man is dead and it's buried. That's what we do baptism for. And then when it's raised from the dead, it's raised to newness of life. The old life stays in the grave. But you not only take part in the crucifixion as being in Christ, but also in the resurrection you are in Christ. And he raises you up to newness of life. Why did he kill you off? Because he didn't want the bother of changing you. He didn't want the hassle of trying to change you. And so he says to you, he gives you permission. Consider yourself dead to sin and be alive to me. And I will teach you the lifestyle of being alive to me. So what that means is when God looks at you, he doesn't see anything wrong with you. Because everything that was wrong about you, he killed it off. He's really happy about that. Now, we're not dealing with your sin. We've already dealt with it once and for all. Read the Bible. Yeah, so your old man is dead. What we're learning is there is a newer version of you, and that's the one the Holy Spirit is working with. So when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on a part of your life that's not working, what's he doing? He's pointing to the site of your next upgrade. He's pointing to the site of your next miracle. He's saying, this is brilliant. Let's get to work on that next. So your old man is dead. So we don't have a sin nature anymore, but we do have a sin habit. And habits can be broken. Right? So what we have is we have situations in our life that need renovation. They need the cross to come in, and it's brilliant. God enables us to be complete in Christ and then also come into completion. What that means is God gives you everything up front and then teaches you how to walk in it. So you have fullness right at the beginning, and he teaches you how to stay full. You are complete in him, and he teaches you what that completion looks like. You have fullness in him, he teaches you how to live in fullness. So everything about your life is absolutely, brilliantly positive, because when God looks at you, he sees you in Christ, and he says yes and amen. Even before you've asked a question. He says, everything in Christ is yes and amen. It's like, Lord, isn't that a bit dangerous? These are Texans. They'll just take advantage. And he's going, I hope they do. Someone needs to take advantage of me. Here's the thing. When God grants you something, he expects you to take him for granted. He gets a little bit antsy when you don't. You are designed to have more, to have a life that carries more than you can hold. So that you give it away constantly. And what that means is that nobody is safe from a blessing. Because you're around. It means we're never subject to any negativity. The world is inherently negative, but the kingdom isn't. It's like there's no frustration in heaven. You think anyone standing around the throne right now going, how much longer is this worship service going to go on for? I could kill one of the angels for a coffee. There's no frustration in heaven. So here's the deal. If it doesn't exist in heaven, it can't exist here. If it's not intended, it cannot be allowed. If it's not intended, it cannot be allowed. If it's not in Christ, we don't want it. We don't accept it. So what is it about this Christ life that turns everything upside down and inside out? It's a mindset. It's a perception. It's a language that he carried from heaven to earth. And when you read the Gospels, what you are seeing is Jesus saying, this is how we do stuff in heaven.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? The truths of the scriptures bring lightness and joy and levity to us, right? And then we say, well, why don't I feel that way? Why don't I believe that? Why isn't it happening? That's the question. But we have the answer. So if there is something standing in the way, the Lord says, let me take care of that. And it's probably unbelief if we're not believing what God said. It might be as simple as that. Lord, I've been held back because of unbelief. Any kind of unbelief, anything where I'm not agreeing with heaven, anything where I'm allowing my emotions to rise above what you're saying. So this is a time where we want to just not only hear what he's saying, but then take another step further and just receive it deep, deep, deep in our hearts so that we can just allow him as we partner with what he's saying and who he is to absolutely come in and help us grow up in Christ. That's what he's saying. You have everything. I have everything. We are complete in him. How many times have we heard that in recent times? I'm complete in Christ. But I'm still crying and I'm still feeling this and I still have this and yada, yada, yada. The Lord says this is the process that we're in. So what we want to do is partner with what we've heard intentionally, considering ourselves to be who we are, and that is crucified with Christ, dead to sin, consider our body of sin dead, and not allow it to rise. And if it has risen in any way, it's probably time to take a fresh look. And if it does, or it has, that's okay. All we want to do is say, all right, I render you dead, everything. And if there's anything that he's bringing to your attention right now in this season, whatever it would be, then partner with that, agree with that. That's the upgrade. We're being positioned for upgrade right now as we speak. This is a good time, a good season for us. Yeah. God wants us to agree with heaven, not accuse and blame. In any way, agree with heaven. If we agree with heaven, we stay in joy, we stay in peace, we stay in connection. That's heaven. That's Jesus. It becomes very simple. So I think the worship team can come up, and I believe that enough has been said. Let's just worship the Lord. And I know that he's speaking to your hearts, speaking to my heart, and saying, here I am, Lord, I'm ready for that next place of maturity, that next place where I am taking Romans 6 very seriously for myself. I've been in many worship services over my life and in my life, and today is a new day, just like last Sunday was a new day. Today's a new day. So when we worship the Lord, or as we worship the Lord with thanksgiving and gratitude in our heart today, just let him speak to you. You can hear him. He lives inside. I love that. This is our covenant of habitation. This is the season of habitation, not visitation, but habitation. Although he does visit us, but he says, I'm looking for a place to inhabit. He lives in us, but he wants to feel comfortable and say, let me out so that I can infect the rest of the world with things that are positive, things that are glorious, things that are good, things that are healthy, not division, not strife, not separation, something good, something positive, not our own opinions anymore, not a good thing. So we don't want to be part of anything that's not that way. We want to be part of something that's really positive. And if God is putting something on your heart to take a step in, then do that. Maybe it's a relational connection. Maybe it's something that you've struggled with privately behind closed doors for a long time. I don't know. Sometimes, again, what we fear, what we speak out, what we concentrate on, just it breeds that thing coming upon us in a greater measure. Yeah, it really is. Even sometimes we may deal with hardships and depression, things like that. We're always looking for a solution, and that's not a bad thing because God is the problem solver. But we really want his solution from heaven. And put the components together that he gives us to be able to walk out of negativity into the light in every way for our lives. And there should be a big change that happens after today, I think, here and in our lives. We say that a lot here on Sundays because I believe this is a positive place. But the positivity is based on what the kingdom of God offers and says, and that's who we are as children of the light, not as orphans. Orphans are people who don't know their papa, don't know they have a papa. So if orphan thinking rises because there's fear and negativity and depression and hopelessness and all those things, that's really evidence of orphan thinking. And the Lord says, that's not who you are. You cry out, Abba, Daddy, and expect the results that I paid the price for by sending Jesus, my only son. Is it that simple? It is. And he gives us more. So we're going to believe for the glory to just infect us. Today he's already here, and he's already infecting our hearts. But I believe there's a great exchange that takes place today. Also, if you're interested in being baptized, water baptized, you haven't recently, not that you have to do this regularly, I'm saying if you were baptized as a baby, you don't remember it, or something like that, or you're newly converted, something to that effect, just put a little note in the box back here. We've had a problem with our baptismal up there, and hopefully that will be fixed very soon. If not, we have a lot of water areas around here. But if that's something that's interesting for you, feel free to let us know that that's what you're interested in, and put your contact information in there as well. Amen? So let's worship the Lord, and if you want some prayer, I'm just going to ask for Rach, if you can come up here and just join me. And Andy, if you're still in here, you can come up and join me as well. I just need a couple people. If anybody has a need for prayer in any way, then we can agree with you and just pray and see what God will do. By the way, we had an amazing class on in School of Supernatural this past week. It was amazing from what I heard. Cynthia and Rachel led that. I wasn't here, but I heard got the DL on that. And just the Lord was just releasing so much freedom to people. So good. Just exhort you to take advantage of these times. The class itself was about words of knowledge being released, and it ended up being a time where so many words of knowledge were released that people were coming in to a greater measure of who they are in Jesus. Love it. And then being able to minister on top of that words of knowledge to other people. So it was receiving personally and then being able to give out. So praise God for that. So we just want to worship the Lord, and if you want prayer, come on up. I believe the only other announcement, we're just going to close. That way you're free to go at any moment. There's not an official closing moment here, so you're free to go when you feel you've connected with the Lord as we worship here. And I think the only other announcement is that we have The Edge on Saturday night, am I right? Yes. With Cameron and Beth leading, right? Yeah. Yoo-hoo! So be there. That's awesome. Okay, well, just feel free to come up for any kind of prayer and agreement. And just let's worship the Lord. Stay as long as you want. God bless you. Have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. May you be encouraged. May you be strengthened today. In Jesus' name, amen.